if I'm thinking about, like, if I'm making a cookie at my house,
right.
and this cookie is helpful with fibromyalgia and cancer treatments, it's a way to deliver the medication, because that's what we're talking about here, medication to my ailments. Could be arthritis, could be any kind of chronic problem that I'm having. So I'm baking this cookie or I'm making these cakes. Whatever I'm cooking and making, I'm doing it at home, and I have my clientele, and I'm running around delivering. So are you saying that those days are over?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, those days are not going to be over, because you can still give...
License my kitchen?
No. You can give, for example, you made your cookies yourself in your kitchen, you infuse it yourself, and you package it, and you're going to give it to your friends. You're able to legally give a certain amount of cannabis to your friends, and the key is give. Once you decide to sell it, you need to be licensed.
Today at SoCal Insurance, better known as OGCannabisInsurance.com. Am I correct?
Yes, you're absolutely correct, and it's a pleasure to have you in our office. We look forward to talking about all things cannabis today.
Oh, very good. Yes. Well, everybody, you know you're listening to Barbara, and I'm here with Manuel Caron. He is owner-operator of OG Cannabis Insurance. And this is a very interesting proposition. I mean, the idea of being able to insure our cannabis, I like that idea. Could you tell me more? How does that really work?
So cannabis insurance is really insurance for businesses. The cannabis insurance is not unlike any other insurance that's for mainstream policyholders. You have general and product liability for any business that is in the business of making things. You have property insurance for businesses that have inventory, that have owned buildings. You have workers' compensation insurance. So it's cannabis approved insurance company is really what our focus is, and our message is that the insurance policy that our clients are buying are all cannabis approved insurance companies.
Wow, that's amazing. So you yourself started out many years ago.
Yeah.
Because you're a very accomplished, well knowledged in this writing of insurance policies.
Thank you.
And I'd like to know, how did you find yourself in the world of cannabis?
So a couple of years ago, there's a journal out, insurance trade journal out, and they talked about the difficulties of the insurance marketplace for cannabis policies. And so Ben approached our agencies and said, let's go after this market. And what we're able to do is get in contact with the insurance carriers that are offering these products to cannabis companies. And we just really decided to go out and become those experts, those professionals in the field who really believe in the product, believe in the companies, and understand the complex insurance that goes along with these policies.
So right now in California and in many states in the United States, there is the idea that medical cannabis use is legal. I mean, it's legal under the protection of the state. Recreational adult use is something that's going to be introduced in 2018. So before, Manuel, you were discussing with business owners who were working with people who were involved in the medical cannabis business, I guess you would say. So now, how does that change for adult use? Or is there a change?
Well, I think that obviously the Adult Use Act is going to open up the conversation for those who are interested in cannabis and you know, solving short-term problems, or they're, you know, curious about the use of cannabis. I mean, that's really what's going to happen is that the conversation hopefully is going to change that this product is, it's safe if used appropriately. It has wonderful cures and ailments that can be used to help people. You know, I think that conversation is going to change come January 1st, 2018, that cannabis is just more than, you know, the get high thing. I think it's going to be good.
I do know that in Denver, it is thought that from the seed to sale, there's like a tracking that goes from the seed all the way until it's sold from the dispensary. The idea is that if it's medical cannabis, then it goes in one direction. And if it is adult use cannabis, then it goes into another direction. I know that here in California, they don't necessarily plan to have from seed to sale, but there is a tracking process that's going to be implemented that's going to protect, let's say, those who are involved in the community, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just for our listeners' edification, giving them some ideas of how many government agencies are involved in this, there is the California Department of Wildlife, Fish and Game. Mm-hmm. There is California Department of Fee and Tax Administration.
Yep.
There is the Cannabis Portal, where you can actually go and get more information if you're thinking about getting involved in the business. Of course, there's cultivation licensing. There's a division for Department of Food and Agriculture. Well, of course, insurance would fall into one of these categories. I didn't really mention it.
Yeah.
But tell us. So I guess we need insurance for our cannabis. So since there are several ways that we could be licensed, such as in manufacturing, tell us how would that, what role would you play in manufacturing?
So, in, first of all, the licensing that applicants are going to be applying for on the city or on the state level, especially on the state level, they're going to be required to show insurance as a requirement of the license application. So even before you start business, it's likely that you're going to at least have the conversation with your agent to get insurance. Now, what that insurance is and what it looks like is all going to be dependent on the type of business that you are. If you're a manufacturer or cultivator or dispensary or some of the other micro businesses. But what it really comes down to is the policy that's required by the city level license requirements is general liability insurance. They're also going to be asking for a bond. So once you're applying for your license, is when that coverage is going to need to be in place for all the different types of licensing.
So I know that there's a distinction between having a temporary license. That just means when it's temporary, it just means that I'm over here doing business and I'm doing good business and I'm in the process of becoming legal. But since the laws aren't made yet, I'm temporary.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think the reason behind the temporary licenses is because the state is going to, they know that they're not going to be able to issue the license like they would have liked to have come January 1st. So it's sort of like a stop measure. So that way they can identify those businesses that are at least city level approved to get in line in order to have a state approval much quicker. So it's really just a stopgap between the license, the actual license that's going to be issued on the state and what's available currently.
Well, I know that if I'm thinking about, since we're talking about manufacturing, if I'm thinking about, like, if I'm making a cookie at my house, and this cookie is helpful with fibromyalgia and cancer treatments, it's a way to deliver the medication, because that's what we're talking about here, medication to my ailments. Could be arthritis, could be any kind of chronic problem that I'm having. So I'm baking this cookie or I'm making these cakes. Whatever I'm cooking and making, I'm doing it at home and I have my clientele.
Yeah.
And I'm running around delivering. So are you saying that those days are over?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, those days are not going to be over because you can still give...
License my kitchen?
No. You can give, for example, you made your cookies yourself in your kitchen, you infuse it yourself, and you package it, and you're going to give it to your friends. You're able to legally give a certain amount of cannabis to your friends, and the key is give. Once you decide to sell it, you need to be licensed. And we had a conversation with, I think it was Food and Beverage, the department that's going to oversee manufacturing. That was the Food and Agriculture. And the gentleman told us that, unfortunately, cottage-type manufacturing licenses are not available yet. Meaning, for example, right now, you can legally make certain pastries in your home, cakes in your home, and then sell them, cookies and so forth, if you're at farmer's market or what have you. But the moment that you infuse it with cannabis, you're going to need to be licensed. And the way that you'll get a license manufacturing this stuff legally is when you have a commercial kitchen and you go through the licensing process on the city level and then get your state license. If none of that is in place and you're selling those products, you're probably in violation.
Wow. In violation.
Meaning you're not licensed to infuse your own product and then sell them.
I got it. So... what about cultivation?
Mm-hmm.
Because I do know that if I'm growing my six plants, because that's the way it was before, can I insure my six plants?
So our insurance, cannabis insurance program, are for licensed cultivators. Now the license is going to be the key part to all the insurance that you could possibly buy for your crop or your property, your grow equipment, what have you. If you're growing them
indoor, outdoor.
Indoor or outdoor. Mm-hmm. If you're growing them in your home, that's going to be a different issue, and that's a problem. It's a little problematic with homeowner insurance policies, because what is the difference between your plants in your home versus your cannabis plants versus your palm trees or your fir or any other property that you have in your house?
Right, exactly.
You need to have that conversation with your homeowner's insurance, and my feeling is in the next few months, especially with claims that are going to come up, there's going to be exclusions in your policies in your home that excludes cannabis property or property-related claims to manufacturing or growing cannabis.
Wow. And, well, I guess we might as well say that since we've heard a lot of explosions and a lot of rigmarole, I don't know any other word to use, but it could possibly mean catastrophic injury from people who are in home making derivatives such as shatter and such as some of these more concentrated forms of the product by heating it up to a certain temperature.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that. Is that like a CO2 thing? How does that work? Well, I'm totally lost.
So the extraction process can be very problematic because of the methods and the chemicals that are used to extract cannabis. Now, if it's done by a licensed manufacturer safely through a CO2 closed loop system, you have it done at a safer level. It's more controlled, and obviously, if you're licensed then and insured, then you have most of the proper safeguards that's required for that. The problem has been over the last few years where you have butane, you have leaking chemicals, you have these explosions in residential areas by unlicensed illegal operations. You have hundreds of thousands of dollars of property loss, and of course injuries or death, and nobody wants to see that.
Absolutely catastrophic
injury.
Absolutely. And sometimes the person who's doing it, and then sometimes the persons who live around it,
of course.
This is what happens when it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember there was a guy, and he was in Oakland. And he made a cookie. It was a really good cookie, too. Chocolate chip or something.
Yeah.
And anyway, he took it around to all the offices, and he made it at his home. And one Christmas, he got all these orders, and he finally hit pay dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that he sold the cookies to the wrong person, and they decided to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was making the cookies in his home, he couldn't sell those cookies outright to people. It was like he had to find another kitchen to do this. So he must have sold it to the wrong person. I mean, absolutely, they were mad. And they decided to investigate his particular kitchen. They found out that that kitchen was his home kitchen.
Right.
And so therefore they made a requirement in the city, which most cities have this requirement for public safety, mm-hmm. that you have to have a licensed kitchen. It has to be graded, and there's a lot of people that come through and see and everything.
Yeah.
And so he was out of business. Mm-hmm. Until he found a restaurant that was able to give them the opportunity to use their licensing. They were grade A or whatever it was. And then he started making his cookies there in the morning. And now he was a business owner that was able to keep in time with law, but then be able to make a profit as well.
Yeah.
Because he had a partnership. Do you see a partnership like that coming? And how would people that are secondary on the license be covered by insurance?
So if to be covered by insurance, the insurance again goes back to who holds the license, and we want to know what operations you're doing under that license. Mm. So if you are a vendor of that manufacturing license somehow, and I think that may be what you're talking about in terms of partnership, you're doing something with somebody who's licensed. In the insurance policy, all the vendors that have something to do with the final product is going to be required to have insurance as well. We don't want a situation where someone's creating a product with other people's items or other people's products and they're uninsured, because that other person's product could be the proximate cause of a claim. And they may ultimately be responsible for the claim that they've dragged the insured into, the license holder into.
I do understand, but just think. I mean, isn't this all about entrepreneurialism?
Sure.
And about groundbreaking?
Right.
So the groundbreaking piece would be that my formula is my formula, and I couldn't give it to you to make it in your licensed manufactured kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I would have to be the one, because that's what we like. We like competition. We like the small business owner, and we like the effects that possibly can come from someone who's doing this more holistically.
Sure.
So that's kind of the thought. All areas in which eventually we're going to find it out now, won't we?
Yeah, I think if you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to figure out what your role is or where you're going to be able to get in and sell those products, or if you've got a great idea, start looking at the website online. It's Bureau of Cannabis Control's website. To find out what licenses are required for whatever it is that you are going to bring to the market. And then, of course, if you're going to partner with anyone, definitely get that conversation started.
Wow. Well, we're here on location with Emmanuel Caron, and we're in his place of business. And this is LA Miracle Cure, and we'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You're listening to LA Miracle Cure, and I have one question of you, man. You know everything.
Oh.
So I want to know. Okay. So my farm is indoors,
mm-hmm.
and I'm under a temporary licensing, meaning I have not yet reported it to the state, and I have not yet had my federal ID done, and I don't have my life scan yet. Well, maybe I have mine, but maybe there's three or four people who work for me who are excellent at what they do, and they don't have theirs. And I don't have a tax permit, but I've been paying taxes. And I have a California business license, so I'm not really altogether there. But guess what? I've got a cash crop, and I need insurance.
Right.
So I'm going to call you, and you're going to give me a quote.
Yep.
How does that work?
So, first of all, that was very kind of you, but I don't know everything. But to answer your question, when you call our office to get a quote, one of the first qualifying questions we ask you is, what stage of the licensing process are you? And that will tell us if you're zero or if you're in the middle of a temporary license application, if you're at the city licensed level or not. That will give us an idea of what's available in terms of coverage for you. These policies that we are offering are for licensed and those that are in the license process. However, there can be some time frame where before you're licensed, we can give you extensions to show the carrier that you will get your license within 30 days, 60 days, or 90 days. So that way the policy does pay, does respond if there's a claim, and you're not canceled if you don't or are not issued your license right away.
Is there a time limit there? So let's say, okay, you came, you saw, you look, you saw,
right,
and you see that I am on my way because no one is licensed, right?
Sure. So that's not, there are licenses that are being issued. There's been a few out of Cathedral City, out of Adelanto, out of Goleta. So there are licenses that are being issued. The problem that we're having catch-22-wise is that the cities that are taking applications for licenses may request or require insurance. So that's the conversation you want to have with your insurance professional, where when you buy insurance, is there a time frame that you have to show them you're at your license and what that time frame is? And if the city is prepared to give you that license within that time frame or not.
If they're going to be congruent. Because the state, we know, is not going to be. It's not going to be a situation where the state is going to be effectively able to issue that license in a timely manner.
Sure.
So the city, there's a bigger chance that maybe within 60 to 90 days, are you seeing that people are licensed?
Yes. On the city level, the cities, like I said, some of them already been issuing licenses. Some are in the very late stages of accepting applications. And then they've given, like the city of LA has given us kind of a somewhat time frame as when they expect all their requirements to be in place. So we have an idea time-wise when they may issue licenses, looking into the next 30, 60, 90 days. But it's important to talk with your insurance professional about how much time that they have for the policy to give that license to the carrier.
So it seems on this application that I'm giving away all my secrets. Now, as a cannabis business person, I would think that you would be dealing with people that have kept good secrets for long times. So it would be very difficult for them to just come in and say, oh, let me give you my social, my date of birth, my place of residence, my fingerprints, my driver's license, hold on, an address for everybody that's involved.
Right.
And then my landlord signing off, a diagram of my premises, a closed loop certification signed by a licensed engineer. I mean, I'm looking at this and in the best case scenario, yeah. But the reality is maybe not.
Right.
Maybe I can't give you all that information because it puts me at risk. What if I'm not licensed? Or even better, what if I can't secure the bond, a surety of $5,000? Tell us, what is that bond of a surety?
So a surety bond is a financial instrument that guarantees a certain payment to an entity or an obligee. in the event that the bondholder is unable to pay. So in the event of, I believe the state of California is issuing bonds, so if the license as ever comes is, you know, maybe revoked or unable to keep the license active, the bond is supposed to pay for the destruction of cannabis that the licensee no longer is able to handle.
Oh, really?
Now, yeah. So
that's interesting.
Sure. Now, the state may have one for taxes. They may have one for other fees that goes along with the industry. But the reality is that a bond is a financial instrument. So if you don't qualify for a bond, then there's ways that we can help applicants qualify it through either co-signing or collateral requirements.
Well, now you have just brought up the question of the day.
Okay.
And that question is, wait a minute. I thought that, remember, I have this farm, and we're talking facetiously, mm-hmm. but we're giving our listeners the opportunity to really hear a professional address issues that could come up. So I've got 150 plants. I'm operating indoors. And I'm 65% to licensing, and then something happens.
Yeah.
Well, I have no intentions of giving my life's work back to the state when they didn't originate it. I would want that to go to my family or my next of kin or my business partner. How does insurance make sure that the beneficiaries are informed in the demise or in the arrest, let's say, of the person holding the license?
So there's no insurance that is going to be available in the event that you are you're no longer legally to be able to hold a license that is going to insure against losing that license or for the, let's say, the crop that's no longer being able to be sold because an insurance policy has specific, what they call perils, their coverages, like a fire or theft or smoke or water claim, right?
So theft, like the DEA.
Well, that's not technically, okay. May not technically
that's
be a theft.
That's not a theft.
Right now, yeah. So when we say theft.
Official taking.
Yeah, remember, okay. And disclaimer to all parties listening, insurance policies are contracts between you and the insurance company. These contracts are created by the carriers that you're buying the insurance from. So it's important to read your exclusions and your endorsements and understand the definitions of whatever it is that they're putting into that policy. That conversation you should have with your insurance professional, you should have with your counsel, because just like you said, you may think one thing is one thing, and in the policy it means something totally different.
Wow, that's amazing. So, we're not calling State Farm or Liberty Mutual for this.
Not at this moment, no.
No, we're not. We're not. Because this is not sanctioned by the federal government.
Right, yeah. We all know that it's still scheduled on drug on list of federal, you know, on the federal level. And a lot of financial institutions, insurance companies are handcuffed from getting into the industry.
Absolutely.
Because of that.
Including banks.
Especially banks.
So, you're sitting on a mountain over here. Because eventually, don't you think you'll be able to have perhaps, you know how insurance companies are sometimes tied into banks and giving loans and things like that? I mean, I could see that things could move in a different area for you. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope that the federal government figures out their approach and the philosophy behind cannabis. You know, obviously banking is a real problem that our clients face right now. And so I hope that everybody can get on board and figure out a solution to this problem.
Exactly. Because it is a problem.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that the legitimacy that is happening in California, just being upfront about it and having these conversations, we're dialing in and helping to give this information out. Because logistically, I mean, once these laws are made, Manuel, they're not going to be on flyers passed out in the community now, are they?
The laws, no. Laws are not going to be passed out on flyers.
No.
They're... The best resource that our industry has is each other, because we're going to be able to communicate what we know, what we've experienced, and we'll pass on the good conversations to all those that are part of this industry that's helped it get to where it is now, and to those that are in the business to get it to where it's going to be in the next 3, 5, 10, 15 years from now.
Absolutely. And we know in the first year, LA County is predicted to make $5 billion, and you're sitting in a pretty comfortable spot.
I'd like you to meet Dr. Andrea Pennington. She's an international speaker, best-selling author, and talk radio host of Liberate Your Authentic Self on America Out Loud. Andrea, when you meet someone who is not living the authentic life, what do you say to them?
There's no reason to settle for anything less than an out loud life, and you deserve it. No matter what you might have been told or programmed or brainwashed into, you deserve to have a fabulous, out loud, kick-ass life.
Well, listen, I look at you as a media guru. You've been on with a lot of the big shows. I want to ask you, how important is this platform, America Out Loud, to your overall mission?
The America Out Loud platform is allowing me to really spread my wings and stretch out and share my truth in a way that I cannot do on other big media networks. Here I get to be my authentic, out loud self. And yes, I'm a little quirky, a little nerdy, and deeply spiritual. So this is a huge, huge gift to me and my brand. And I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, our goal is to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs. AmericaOutLoud.com. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on both Android or Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Go to
ogcannabisinsurance.com,
and then I put in all this private information we just talked about.
Well, no, not. Go to our website, ogcannabisinsurance.com. There's a link that's called Get a Quote, and it's very, very basic information. The legal name of your business, your address, your email, your phone number, and then it kind of asks about the coverages that you're most interested in getting. But first, if you just scroll through our website, you'll be able to find information on what are typical coverages for manufacturers, what are coverages for dispensaries, what does property insurance actually cover, what's workers' comp insurance. So if you're looking at our website, you'll be able to find that information. And then in the Get a Quote tab, let us know what coverages you're interested in, what coverages you want to get a quote from. That basic information will get forwarded to my staff here, and then we'll contact you and complete the quote process.
So we can, I just being in your office, I can see that you are very knowledgeable, but you also have a confidentiality.
Sure.
And so people can feel good and feel comfortable in contacting you.
Right.
Because the insurance agent knows where all the dead bodies are. Right? Exactly. So at least my insurance officer knows where mine are.
Yeah.
At some point, we have to seek professionals' opinion.
Sure.
And your guidance. Mm-hmm. So we can get through the process. And I'm speaking to those who are out there who are in the hundreds of thousands who want to own and operate cultivation, manufacturing, distribution, the opportunity to run a dispensary.
Right.
So a dispensary is the face of cannabis.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times the community is confused because they're saying, well, you know I voted, But I voted for medical cannabis for people who are sick, and now I see all these other people, they don't look sick. Mm-hmm. So what do you really think is going to happen once we have adult use? Do you think it's going to be like a gold rush? Do you think people are going to come from every state to Los Angeles to try it out like they did in Las Vegas? And then maybe we run out of cannabis?
I think that come 2018, the reality is that the conversation for the general public is going to be that it's a favorable thing. I don't think that we'll ever run out of cannabis. I think that there will be a shortage where we have to figure out the reasons behind the shortage so we can get the product to the dispensaries. My hope is that the conversation in 2018 is more of a Main Street approach to what we think about this product and all the good stuff that comes with it.
Well, you know, just thinking about a dispensary and all the things that are there. So you have the actual leaf, and then you have various varieties of ways to deliver the medicine. So back when I was a kid and I was just indoctrinated about marijuana, it was like tokers and smokers and puff, puff, bats.
Yeah.
We're not talking about that anymore. We're talking about very deliberate, sophisticated ways of ingesting and operating with cannabis. Is that not correct?
Well, I think those ways are still there. I think people want to use this to relieve the pressures of life. I mean, my theory is that if they have access, legal access to alcohol or cigarettes, even prescription pills that do much, much more harm than cannabis would and does, then they should be able to get to it legally. If it's something that makes you happy and something that you're not hurting others with, then adults should have access to it legally by their own choice.
Right. They shouldn't be criminalized for something that's a plant.
Right.
I see. So, well, we appreciate your opinion on that. I want to know, going back to this dispensary. Mm-hmm. So now I have all these products in the dispensary and I'm ready for business. But guess what? A couple things I need. Like, I need a letter of intent to get state approval. So tell me a little bit about a letter of intent. And what does that mean?
So a letter of intent from an insurance company could be a letter that tells the city who is issuing these licenses that you can be insured for the coverages that they're requiring you to have in order to apply for the license. So that way you don't have to purchase the insurance before you're even licensed and you'll be able to begin to operate.
Right. To do business. Because even as a makeup artist, everybody knows I'm a celebrity makeup artist, but as a makeup artist, I have to pull out sometimes for, like, let's say LA Fashion Week, $1 million policy just for me and the people that work under my umbrella, just in case we do something horrific, which we don't because we're fabulous, but, you know, things happen.
They do.
And that's what insurance is there to protect us from, right?
Yes.
So we can still continue to do good business, but people that are in harm's way are covered.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. You know, life insurance is best practice for businesses. Like you said, nobody wants to create claims. Nobody expects a fire. Nobody expects to injure somebody. Nobody expects a suit coming their way, but the reality is these things do happen. And fortunately, there is coverage for businesses that operate and want to protect their investment.
So when you say protecting the person, so you're more or less talking about, let's say, because we know the cannabis is cannabis, so it's a plant, so it goes through a certain amount of testing. But those precarious manufactured products that have different ingredients put in them. We know the state is going to move forward and have the FDA labeling on the back, and we're going to know what's in there and know how it's manufactured. And if you're allergic to peanuts, you'll know there's peanut oil in there. So that, but that is the purpose, because isn't it true that a person that uses one of the products is where you might have your biggest problem? Aside from a fire or sure. aside from someone stealing it from
yeah.
you?
Yeah, product liability is insurance. So if the product that you've made causes injury to someone, then your insurance policy will defend and pay the claim if it's, you know, if there's some negligence involved. And the reality is that, yeah, in my opinion, that's going to be the biggest area of claims with these products, mostly, in my opinion, because you're going to have a lot of new users, and new users may not understand the full effects of what they're consuming, and that could lead to problems to themselves psychologically, or could lead to others.
Right.
And who is responsible for that? Obviously, the person who consumed it. But could there be an argument that the product had something to do with them doing something that they wouldn't have otherwise have done if they not had that product to consume? So all of those are very, very real questions. And in our industry, those suits are going to happen. Those claims are going to be made. And that's why it's important to get the right coverage in those events. And talk to your insurance professional to find out what coverages are available depending on what it is you're doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're here live at SoCal Insurance. And I know, okay, I'll just be honest. Everybody needs investors.
Yeah.
Because this is big business. And it's difficult to get big business off the ground and flying right without cash. And not only cash right now, but another round of funding. So, you know, your dispensary could be in competition with someone, let's say, who's been doing business for 5 years,
yeah.
if you're just starting off. So my question is, do you cover the financial investment? What about if someone's given $1 million? Do you cover the investment for the investors?
So, I mean, the short answer of that is no. An investment, like any investment, is a gamble. Obviously, that's why it's called an investment. You're going to have businesses that are going to fold or be not ran properly. And, you know, and just like if you invest in any other stock, it just may not work out for you. There are coverages that are available to the directors and officers of a business that, you know, has that risk. But in a, you know, short answer is no. If you're investing into something, there's risk and reward.
Okay, so what about workers' comp? Okay,
yeah.
I've been cutting buds all day and my finger's bleeding. I need 5 days off work.
Right.
Do you cover me?
Yeah.
How's that work?
Yeah, so workers' comp is a very long state law that is required of all businesses. Cannabis businesses are going to be no different. It's to cover your employees in case there's an injury or an illness that's job related, right? The important key to remember regarding insurance, if you're in this industry, is to buy insurance from cannabis approved insurance companies. Be very honest and transparent when you're applying for insurance, so that way when that employee does cut their finger, the insurance company doesn't investigate and say that, oh, you told us you're one thing and you're actually another. We don't insure that, so we're just going to deny the claim and stick you with the bill. That's problematic.
You know, when I'm just going over some of the state regulations, with all due respect to the state, because I am a Californian.
Yeah.
And now recently in Angeleno. Mm-hmm. But I'm bothered by the fact that they want to know the source and date of cultivation, known allergies, date of manufacturing and packing. I mean, we put less on a perfume bottle that comes from France, you know, where we really have paid $300 for that bottle. And we really want to know that the lilacs are from the lilies of the field.
Sure.
In Rouen,
right, right.
of France. And here they are wanting to know exactly where it comes from. I mean, I think some of these policies are not necessarily the protection, but the giving of information to Big Brother. How do you feel about that?
Well,
because what if you don't get a license and you've given up all of your information? Do you think you're going to jail?
Well, I definitely like the seed to sale tracking program that they're going to put in place. The main reason is because if you're in this industry and you're applying for licenses, you want all the other cultivators, dispensaries, and manufacturers to be licensed as well. Because what we don't want to see is that there's somebody in this industry not playing by the rules and are therefore undercutting the costs that all the licensed businesses are going to have to front the bill for. And so the seed to tracking system is supposed to be able to show where something was grown at or produced at, taken from and taken to and eventually sold to. And by doing that, you're taking away the ability for stuff that's outside the system to get into the system.
Mm.
So on that level, I'm all about that, because if we all wanted this industry to be looked at as official and we want this industry to thrive and we want it to have a good face for those that, you know, may be on the fence of, you know, cannabis approval. And the only way we're going to do that is with an actual system that works. As far as if you've been, the information that they're collecting, some of it is sensitive in nature as far as social security number and where you live and all that stuff. And it's not really unlike any other application that you might have for any other business interest you may have.
Absolutely. You're not kidding. Okay. So let me just give my listeners just an idea. We're live here at SoCal Insurance, and we're with Manuel, and I just want to give you an idea of some of these categories. M-license is cannabis products for sale in the medicinal market. The A-license is products for adult use in the adult use market. It says here types of the volatile solvent extract. That's a type 7. Also can be used to infuse packing and labeling. Type 6 is the non-volatile. Could you tell us the difference between volatile and non-volatile? Do you insure volatile?
Yes, we can insure it. If the state or the city level is going to issue license for it, then it's an insurable risk that we can insure against. So if you're non-volatile, your closed-loop CO2 system, or your butane extraction, or some other method that the state or city has approved, we'll be able to find you coverage for it.
When you say find coverage, are you looking under a rock?
Where
are you finding this coverage?
So what we mean by that is we take your information on what it is that you're going to be doing. So for example, I'm a manufacturer, I extract cannabis oil, and then I make tinctures, I make topicals, and I make a few ingestibles, right? Edibles of some kind, okay? So we take that information and we get to the carriers who's going to underwrite that with us, and we write a policy based on that information you've just given us.
Wow, this is so complicated. I'm writing notes as we speak.
It is.
It's wonderful to have this opportunity to talk with you, but it's even better for my listening audience, for people who are confused and who have received the wrong information or know nothing about this,
yeah. And
have an inkling to want to get involved. I'd like to know, out of all this, what do you think are the best practices for people like yourself? Now we're talking about your competitors.
Mm-hmm.
What do they really need to do to get up to speed to be like you?
If you're a competitor of ours, I would just suggest that you have a conversation with the underwriters and the carriers who's going to issue these insurance policies and really understand what's excluded from the policy, what's endorsed to the policy to lessen coverage or to increase coverage. Understand what the carrier is going to want to see on the application, what parts of these applications. These are 18-page long applications for people who are applying for insurance, and every part of those applications means something to the policy. So what you want to do is really have a good handle before you're issuing insurance, so that way you protect yourself and you protect the clients who are buying the policies from you.
Wow, that's amazing. So tell me who's at the office when we call. We're going to call to speak to you, Manuel.
You'll be able to get a hold of myself, Manuel Caron. You'll be able to get a hold of Benjamin Landaverde or Gabriel Quintero.
Right. And so this was a brainchild of you two. How many years ago did you say that you thought it would be a good idea to, because that's not just all you do. If
right.
I want to insure my truck, or if I want to insure my Mercedes, or my home, can I come to you too?
Absolutely. That's exactly where we started from. personal auto and homeowners insurance and other businesses, truckers, staffing companies, restaurants. I've been doing this myself for 20 years now, so insurance is a language that I speak really well.
Oh, that's beautiful. So we would call you. Yeah. Did you want to give your number and your contact information?
Absolutely. Our phone number here is 877-473-7979. You can call us anytime, Monday through Friday. You can go to our website at ogcannabisinsurance.com. Our emails are there. Our links are there to get a quote, and we're happy to help.
In the insurance industry, what has been the most ridiculous or the most exceedingly interesting proposition or opportunity you've had to insure or with your clients? Tell us.
Well, they're all interesting, and a lot of the conversations we have with entrepreneurs in the cannabis space, the cool part about our clients is all the new and exciting products that they're making or the branding that their brain has been able to come up with and put out into the world, and seeing a company grow from $200,000 in sales, mom and pop style business, to, you know, now they're at $1 million and $2 million in sales. It's really exciting to see that this industry is giving opportunities to those people who have been underground, for the people that have been, you know, been incarcerated or been part of this culture and are now able to profit from it, profit from their pain or profit from their ingenuity, and being able to be legitimized in this space. So that's really the most interesting and exciting part about what we're doing, is just those conversations we're hearing over and over again with our clients.
Wow, that's great. Well, you know what? Everybody needs insurance.
Sure.
And I think being uninsured is being negligent, because your time, your thought, your investment, your dream, they're all tied up actually in your insurance policy.
Sure, they are.
Yes, absolutely. So in closing, if you had one thing that you would tell most entrepreneurs, what would that be?
I would tell them to get their conversation started with their counsel, who specializes in the cannabis industry. Also get your staff ready to build a brand around whatever product or business that you're putting out there, so that way the experience that consumers have are positive, that the business you're running is legal, and good luck.
Isn't that it?
Yes.
Absolutely.